And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks. I hope you're enjoying your Friday so far and hope you've had a great week. I know we're going through a lot in our country, but as I've said many times before, you know, we have to learn to rise above all the craziness that's going on around us and enjoy the presence of God and just know that God has wonderful things in store for us, and all the devils in hell can't stop those things from happening. You know, the Bible says that we are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ Jesus beforehand, that we should walk in them. You know, that word workmanship is the Greek word poema. Our word poem comes from it. And I like to put it this way. You are God's poetry. You are God's lyric. You are God's song to the world. And he is singing to the world through you. And he has plans and purposes in store for you. And the devil can't stop those things. You know, the only person who can stop us fulfilling our destiny in Christ Jesus is us. You know, the refusal to cooperate with God is the only thing that can stop God's plan for you from being fulfilled. But if you cooperate, listen, you cannot be stopped. So in spite of all the stuff that's going on, you know, God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. God is going to work all of this out for your good. You just be patient and let him do it. In the meantime, of course, you know, we've got some serious issues that we are confronting. But before we get into to some of that, there is good news. There is good news today. I'm elated about both of these stories that I'm going to share with you now. And then I want to reflect a little bit on them. And I want to take your calls as early as I can. So let me get the number out. It's 888-589-8840. And if you're a first-time caller, I'd love to hear from you. Got a gift for you if you're a first-time caller. Look, the good news is that Shelley Luther was released from jail yesterday. The Texas Supreme Court overturned this pinhead judge's decision of putting this poor woman in jail, and she came out yesterday. She was on a couple of the talk shows last night talking about her experience. And I'm just so glad for her. You know, I asked my church to pray for her because this woman should never have been put in jail. That was ridiculous, utterly and totally ridiculous. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. That judge needs to resign, or he needs to be defrocked because he was acting like a little tyrant. Instead of treating this as a civil matter, instead of saying to this woman, listen, I'm going to put you under an order to do this, and you know you can later on litigate whatever the fees or fines are, you know, and just be reasonable, be a human being, show some common sense. But oh no, you're not going to apologize for being selfish. Well, I'm going to put you in jail, and he locked her up. Well, thank God, I think she did stay in jail 24 hours, and 24 hours is 24 hours longer than she should have ever seen the inside of a jail, frankly. But nevertheless, she's out now. Congratulations, Shelley, for the courageous stand that you took. She might be listening. Who knows? In fact, I'm going to see if we can get her on and talk to her. And the other good news, folks, is that the Justice Department has dismissed the charges against General Mike Flynn. They've dismissed those charges. And, you know, it's interesting. The left wing media, the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, is busy saying what a disservice this is to justice and how terrible this is. And this man has been put through the ringer. He has lost his home. He has no gainful employment at this point. He's been under threat of incarceration now for several years. He spent millions of dollars defending himself because silly James Comey. And to me, he is a silly man. I'm serious. To me, James Comey is just a silly man. He's a despicable character too, but he's just a silly man. There's just something about him that just doesn't strike me as right. He's so full of himself that it's unbelievable. And he dispatched two FBI agents to basically go and entrap Michael Flynn. He did not inform the White House, which was standard protocol. They did not advise Flynn that he needed a lawyer, standard protocol. Apparently, the general counsel of the FBI did not like that and told them, you know, if we normally advise the White House, we should do that here. If we normally tell people that we're going to be questioning them and they can have an attorney present, we should do that here. They didn't do any of that. They ignored all that. And then you got, as I've said before, McCabe, whose wife got a $700,000 contribution from Terry McAuliffe to run for state senate in Northern Virginia. Of course, she didn't win. It got to keep the money. And Peter strutting around, telling his underlings that if you haven't closed, I guess these are his underlings, if you haven't closed that case on Mike Flynn, don't. Even though the consensus was that the man had not lied and he'd done nothing wrong. And the lie that they claim he told had to do with a conversation that he had with the Russian ambassador before he was appointed national security advisor. First of all, they unmasked him as having that conversation, which was illegal. They should not have done that. But secondly, they had the transcript. They had a copy, a tape of the conversation. It's not as if they were trying to investigate it and find out information on it. They had it. They didn't have to question him about that. They were trying to get him. They were trying to get him because Barack Obama didn't like him. The Barack Obama administration didn't like him because he had blown the whistle on them and said some things that they simply didn't like. So, folks, in both of these cases, but thank God, all of that is over and he can begin to rebuild his life. Plus, and Jerome Corsi told me the same thing, by the way, who was also in the crosshairs of the special prosecutor. He said basically they were trying to force him to plead guilty to something he didn't do so they could put a feather in their cap and have another convicted felon that they could point to. And he refused. He just said, I've done nothing wrong. I'm not pleading guilty. Take me to trial. And, of course, the charges went away. Remember, in this case, Michael Flynn pleaded guilty, and people said, well, he pleaded guilty. Well, they were apparently threatening his son. And what that has to do with, I do not know. But this is how some of these overzealous prosecutors can play the game. And when they're ideologically driven rather than justice driven, they become dangerous people. Now, folks, I want to say something about this, both of these cases, really, because to me, they are indicative of a major problem that we're having in our country right now. You know, and look, you all know this. I don't even have to tell you, but I will say it for to simply underscore the matter. I am a staunch, dyed-in-the-wool Christian conservative. I have a biblical worldview. And I don't in any way apologize for that. That's who I am. That's where I stand. If anybody doesn't like it, too bad, because that's just who I am. But, you know, folks, it really makes me angry that anybody, including people with whom I might share the same ideological perspective, would ever use our criminal justice system to punish somebody because we don't like where they stand. And yet, I think the left is committed to this idea. When we come back, I want to talk about that a little bit and talk about how dangerous that is to the future of our country. Stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. As we go forward on removing restrictions from the lockdown, how should we make rational and intelligent decisions? Andrew McCarthy brings us back to our legal system that places the burden of proof on the government. He recognizes that trying to make reasonable decisions about the pandemic during an election year is difficult. Everything, including science, has been politicized. Of course, it was politicized even before the election season arrived, but now it is worse. That is why he says government should bear the burden of proof. He says day after day, the system pits the government's compelling interest in public safety against our most fundamental freedoms. Liberty, property, and in capital cases, life itself. By contrast, the argument from authority has no place in our justice system. We don't deprive people of their fundamental freedoms merely because an expert or a professional says that it should be limited. Our judicial system requires that the government bear the burden of proof. Accused Americans are presumed innocent. They are entitled to their fundamental liberties and do not have to prove their entitlement. In the current case, the public safety side and the liberty side need to examine scientists and even summon their own scientific witnesses, and their assessment can be subjected to cross-examination. Consider another issue, whether a business is essential or non-essential. It is not an American's burden to prove that his or her job is essential rather than non-essential, as some government official subjectively defines those terms. It is the government's burden to prove that the job in question cannot be performed safely under any conditions. These are the rules we use in court. No one wants to see infectious disease spread. No one wants to see the economy destroyed. Let's apply these century-old principles as we move forward to try to return the country to normalcy. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Socialism, go to viewpoints.info/socialism. That's viewpoints.info/socialism.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
A young bride found her prince, married him, and settled down for a life together. 5 years later, their joy was broken when cancer quickly took his life at age 30. At age 26, she found herself a widow with a 3-year-old son, a 2-year-old daughter, and a 4-month-old baby. She had all of the stages of grief to move through, but she found strength from her Savior. She and her parents moved in together and created a home where Christ was honored. The children were educated through college, 2 through graduate school, and all 3 were brought to Christ and married Christian mates. That's a mother to be honored, and one whom I was happy to call Mom.
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
Brian Fisher here. The Facebook censors have taken down a whole bunch of posts on the Focal Point Facebook page. I'll tell you why. Will folks at the DOJ, starting with James Comey, go to prison for what they did to Michael Flynn? And churches are still not considered, quote, essential, end quote, in Massachusetts, while the salon operator in Texas is out of jail. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. I'm going to try to start taking your calls during this segment. It's Friday. I want to get as much of your phone calls in, as many of your phone calls in, as I can, and give you all an opportunity to talk about anything we've talked about all week or anything you wanted to talk about, maybe that I haven't even gotten to. But let me come back to this point. This is true for both Shelley Luther, the woman down in Texas who was just released from prison, after having been locked up by this idiot judge who thought that he should punish her because she was trying to earn a living for her family and put her employees back to work. And now General Michael Flynn has had all charges against him dismissed. He is no longer a convicted felon. He can begin to rebuild his life. Now, let me get back to my point. Let me give you an example of how strongly I feel about this. And I was trying to think of somebody in politics who I just really don't like, you know. So there are probably a number of people on the left who would fit that bill. But let's start with somebody who is probably the most high-profile person from the left in the country, Nancy Pelosi. And let's just say that that I'm in power, I'm president, and I've got an attorney general. And, of course, I can't stand Nancy Pelosi and have no use for her whatsoever. And let's say somebody says, well, you know what? We can find some way. We can find something to put Nancy Pelosi in prison for and be rid of her completely. And I said, well, wait a minute. Are you saying she's committed a crime? Oh, no. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, we can concoct something. We can create something. We can find something. You know what? I would say you have lost your mind. Because I have too much respect for the Constitution of the United States and too much respect for our nation as a nation.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Hope. It's a big word. Four letters, but a big word, an extremely big word. It has many meanings. It means going on when folks say there's no need to go on. It means another try when we've had our last try. It means a match in our pocket when the candle has finally burned completely out. Some people find the secret of living in this word. They're happy people. They are the successful people. They are the people who cannot be daunted, cannot be deterred, cannot be dismayed. Hope has done many a thing for an individual. It made a light bulb for Edison when the whole world laughed at him. It created a steamboat for Fulton and lifted him to immortality. It made a wireless for Marconi and sent messages around the world. For Bell, it built a telephone, an impossible machine. And it also made a hospital for Nightingale. What is hope? Hope is going against the odds. Hope is playing the game of life and risking your all on the good and pure and just. Hope is believing it can be done when the experts say it cannot be done. Hope is giving life your best, day after day, regardless of what life gives back. Who needs it? We do, you and I. We cannot live without it. What would life be like if we tried to go on without hope? Why would we care if the sun came up tomorrow if we did not have hope? None of us are ever so rich that we have no need for hope. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from above. For there's no hope that's not founded in Him. He is the author of hope. He says the world can be better. We believe Him. There is
hope. All right, folks, we're back. I guess the gremlins are busy. So, as I was saying, I would not sanction trying to put Nancy Pelosi in prison, not one of my favorite people, mind you. I would not sanction that unless she had committed a crime that called for her incarceration. But, you know, I get the feeling, and I hope that everybody on the conservative side would agree with me on this, I get the feeling on the left they don't care. As long as you get to punish the person that you oppose or that you don't like, as long as you can use any tool available to you, whether that person has committed a crime or not, but if you can put that person in prison, by all means, do it. And that, I think, is exactly what they decided to do with Michael Flynn. And folks, I find that idea abhorrent. Whether you're right or left or middle, we ought to all agree that you don't use our criminal justice system to punish your political opponents. That's not what it's there for. And it's a violation of everything this nation stands for to try to use the criminal justice system to hurt people because you don't like them or you don't agree with them. And so, am I still with you? Okay, great. I have a little trouble with my assistant producer, but there we go. Okay, we're back. And so, folks, look, here's what I'm saying. This is what I want to get to about how dangerous this is. If we ever as a country become convinced that the criminal justice system does not address justice in actual punishment of people for substantive crimes, but instead is a political entity that looks for people to persecute because they're not in agreement with those in power at that particular moment, we will degenerate into civil war. Now, I say that just that strongly. Because listen, if you know that the criminal justice system is coming after you, not because you've done something wrong, not because you've hurt your neighbor, not because you've robbed somebody, not because you committed some infraction that's actually caused harm under the criminal code, but because they don't like you or where you stand or the things that you have to say. It wouldn't take much of that before people would begin to say, well, you know what? I'm not going to cooperate with it. I'd rather fight. Because this is just meaningless nonsense. This is not communist China. Nobody's going to come take away my life, take away my livelihood, put me in jail because they don't like me. And so, folks, we've got to get a handle on this situation. And the media and the left are committing, as far as I'm concerned, in spirit at least, high treason against everything our country stands for. I don't even hear them acknowledge that there was a trap set for Michael Flynn. I mean, I don't even hear them acknowledge it. It's like, that's irrelevant. He deserves to go to jail. He pleaded guilty. Well, folks, people plead guilty because they're pressured or they think they'll minimize harm to their family. Everybody who pleads guilty to a crime has not necessarily pleaded guilty because they actually thought they did something wrong. They're pressured to plead guilty because they think they'll minimize the harm to themselves and their families. And I'm sure that's the pressure he was put under. I told you all. Jerome Corsi said that's exactly what they tried to do to him. But he simply wouldn't go along. I don't want to see our country degenerate into a lawless nation in which there is no justice and people just have to fight it out. I want us all to have respect for the legal system and respect for the criminal justice system, and to know that if I'm charged with something, I'm charged because there's actual evidence that I committed some kind of crime, and I've got to answer for that or prove that I didn't do it, or that they've got to prove that I did, actually. And under our system, I'm innocent until proven guilty. But you get my point. That is substantive. Well, you know what? We don't like E.W. Jackson. He gets on the radio and says things we don't appreciate. Let's go figure out what we can get him on. Folks, that's dangerous. I mean, that is dangerous, not just to you and me. It's dangerous to the future of our country. And yet that's what was done to Michael Flynn. As far as I'm concerned, that's what was done to Shelley Luther. This judge simply didn't like the position she was taking, so he made up his mind he was going to punish her and humiliate her. That's not what the criminal justice system is for. It's for taking people out of circulation because they are a harm to the rest of us. That's what it's for. And of course, you know, we could argue about what crimes are inflicting harm, and people want to talk about victimless crimes and all of that. But when something's on the books as a crime and a felony that's subject to incarceration, it's supposed to be because you are actually inflicting harm on others if you are not taken out of circulation, or you will, or you have, and you've got to be punished for that. Opening up your salon and using social distancing and taking people's temperatures and wearing masks, and what harm are you doing except putting people back to work and earning a living for your family? So folks, we really have to pray hard, and that's why if Hillary Clinton had gotten elected, do you know General Michael Flynn would be in jail right now? Under the Obama administration, a friend of mine, Phil Zadiotis, is in federal prison right now, folks, in federal prison. Phil Zadiotis is no more a criminal than I am. He gave a woman, Lisa Miller, a ride from Virginia to New York, because this woman had been ordered by a Vermont judge to turn her biological child over to a lesbian with whom she once lived and was once quote-unquote married, got saved, became a Christian, renounced that lifestyle, tried to walk away, and the lesbian tried to persecute her by taking custody of her child, and the Vermont court gave her custody of the child, and the woman said, I believe that she's basically engaged in molestation. I'm not turning my child over. Phil Zadiotis gave her a ride from Virginia to New York. They charged him with international kidnapping and put him in jail. The Obama administration did. Because he's against homosexuality. That's really what it was. We'll take your calls when we get back.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There once lived a man who thought of himself as a pretty good fella. He didn't drink too much, run around too much, hate his brother too much, steal too much, lie too much, or do anything else too much. He did all of these things in moderation. You see, it was his theory that everything was all right in the proper dosage. One day, this man died. After a period of sleep, the man awoke. He found that he was in a strange place, but it seemed to be such a nice place. Ah, he said to himself, so this is what it's like here. Real nice indeed. Looking around, he saw that everything was so beautiful. He noticed that he was resting in a most comfortable bed and that others were doing the same. Looking to the side of the bed, he noticed a man standing there who was dressed in a uniform. He asked the man who he was. I am your servant, the man replied. Whatever you want, it is my job to supply it. Man, that's great, exclaimed the man who had died. Hey, this is real living. Say, servant, how about bringing me a little bottle of booze? Don't bring me a big bottle, just a little one. I don't like to get tight, you know, just feeling good. Well, in a flash of time, the servant handed the man his bottle of booze. Say, servant, added the man after getting the booze, how about bringing me a dame to go with the bottle? I never like to drink alone. In an instant, his wish was fulfilled. When he asked for some soft music in the background, his wish was immediately granted, and the air was filled with beautiful music. Well, it continued like this for the man day after day, day after day. When he ordered a smoke, he had no more than gotten the order out of his mouth until it was fulfilled. When he ordered something to eat or drink or wear, it was instantly provided. Whatever his wish, it was fulfilled immediately. After about a week of living in his new environment, one day the man made a startling discovery. And after making his discovery, he made this statement. Man, this is heaven. Real heaven. Just think. Everything I ever wanted. And I did pretty well what I wanted to do on earth. I pity those poor, stupid fools who think they have to live like a preacher or something in order to get here. They're missing it on earth. They could really live it up on earth if they only knew that they could still get here anyway. So on and on went the pleasure of the man who died. Day after day, week after week, month after month. After living like this for several months, he became disgusted. Soon he became completely disgusted when all of his wishes were fulfilled and none refused. He begged the servant to refuse a wish. But the servant would not. Finally, he turned to another man who had died and remarked, you know, if I had known it was going to be like this here, I would have rather gone to hell. The other man responded, and where do you think you are? Heaven, you see, isn't getting everything we want.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
You see, folks, communists believe that the purpose of the government is to serve the interests of the party. But here in America, we believe that the purpose of the government is to serve the interests of the people. Not to advance a particular party's interest, but to advance the interests of the people. So you don't, when you get control of the apparatus of government, you don't get to go around and start purging all your enemies. That's what they do in communist countries. That's not what we do here in the United States of America. You don't get to hurt people and put people in jail and take away people's livelihood and destroy their lives because you don't like them. But I think that's the way the left operates. Frankly, that's what they've tried to do for the last 3 years to President Trump. All right, the number is 888-589-8840. It's open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fine, but I wanted to put that on the table because it really troubles me that seems to be where the left is going. And I don't want to see conservatives and Republicans, when they get into power, repeat the same mistakes. The criminal justice system is for effecting justice for the American people, not to be used as a tool to punish your political enemies. Okay, let's go to your calls. Thanks for your patience. Let's go to Steve in Alabama. And you know what? Steve is not coming up. Can you all bring Steve up for me? There you go. Steve, welcome.
How you doing, Bishop?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Amen.
I've got a comment and like to know if you know anything about the Smith-Month Act that was approved under Obama. And it seems to me that research I've done has something to do with the reporters and the news media as being able to take the truth or any type of story and deliver it any way they want and not be held accountable for it. So I'm not sure, but, and I know it was passed at the 11th hour during, say, like a holiday, and which most of his acts was done during that time. So you can do some research, know about that. It's called the Smith-Month Act.
Yes, yes. In fact, okay. Well, listen, I appreciate that, Brian. And Brian, sorry about that, Steve. I appreciate that. And we'll take a look at that. Okay. In fact, I just pulled it up on the screen, but we'll take a look at it and comment on that a little bit. But thanks so much for the call. Okay. Let's go to Brian in Texas. Brian, you're on.
Oh, good afternoon. I wanted to mention a small film by Representative Curtis Bowers that is called Agenda 1 and 2.
I know the film. I know Curtis. I've seen the film. Great film.
I also wanted to say that, you know, these tactics that Obama used in our military, harassing Christians and making them miserable to be in the military, are the same tactics that Diocletian used to get the Christians out of the army right before he attacked the church. Also, these are communist oligarchy, jackboot, strong arm, illegal tactics to instill fear in us in order that we won't stand up and we won't fight back. But the Lord did say he's coming to rule these nations with a rod of iron and is going to completely crush these governments. So, you know, we still have that blessed hope.
Amen. Well, you are so right, Brian, and I couldn't agree with you more. Which is why I fight so hard. You know, people have said to me, well, you know, Bishop Jackson, you know what the end times brings. So why do you even trouble yourself? Because we know which way things are going. Jesus told us which way things are going. And this is my answer. Yeah, I do. And I know the flow of history. I know that the Bible says that things will wax worse and worse and that perilous times will come. And that the love of many will grow cold and that iniquity and sin will abound. But here is my thing. I want my country to be on God's side. I want America to reflect God's will. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to continue to fight for that, even though I know there will be wicked forces in our country, as there will be all over the world. The difference, I hope, is that we will defeat them because we have the freedom and the opportunity and the faith to do so. So that's why I continue to just stay on the front lines of this stuff, because when Jesus does return, you know, the Bible says he'll separate the sheep from the goats, and that's often used to refer to sheep nations versus goat nations. Well, I want my nation, I want the United States of America to be a sheep nation, not a goat nation. The number, folks, is 888-589-8840. We've got plenty of open lines. Let's go to Kenny in, Kenny, I'm not sure where you're from, Kenny, but you're on. Kenny, you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Bishop?
Yes.
Hi, sir. It's an honor to speak to you. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about, you know, we see these videos come over the internet all the time of, you know, these police officers doing what they're doing. I think we all know that, you know, they take an oath to uphold the Constitution, right? And then so do our politicians. And so when do we stop generalizing the police and calling them heroes? If we say that a police state is bad, then Well, you know, the first word in that statement is police. And I'm not trying to say that all police are bad and this and that, because I know that's not true. And, you know, that would be like, you know, that would be like racism or whatever. But we are seeing so often that Officer Pride and Sergeant Arrogance show up and are more than happy to toss around women, children, drag old folks to jail. When are we going to raise the bar and stop calling these people heroes, do you think?
Well, listen, Kenny, by the way, where are you from? What state are you from?
Iowa, sir.
Oh, it is Iowa. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure of the designation there. But, well, look, Kenny, I'm a big supporter of the police, but I take your point. First of all, we know that police officers are human beings, and they are subject to the same frailties and shortcomings that anybody else is. So, you know, we don't try to pretend otherwise. It's just that we know they do a very dangerous job trying to protect the public. But this whole coronavirus thing has certainly revealed that in some quarters, police officers need to be reminded that they do take an oath to the Constitution. They don't take an oath to a mayor. Now, they may work for the mayor. He may be their direct superior. They may work for a governor if they're state police officers. But their oath is not to those people. Their oath is to the Constitution of the United States. And you've given me the opportunity, Kenny, to say that this is one of the reasons why we're pushing this citizens' oath takers to the Constitution. Because what we want to do is we want to make respect for the Constitution so widespread and so much a reality within our culture, which it's not now, that police officers would immediately, upon being given an order by a mayor or a governor, would immediately think, well, no, wait, now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound constitutional to me. That doesn't sound like that's something we can lawfully do, because our first loyalty is to the Constitution of the United States. And frankly, I don't think that's where they are right now. You know, when a police officer says, well, the governor's given an order, your rights are suspended right now. Ooh, that to me bespeaks not evil, but ignorance. So you make a very, very good point, Kenny. I think we've got to hold police officers accountable when they're not living up to that high esteem in which we hold them. And you're right, being put in a position of harassing people. And by the way, let's not forget, some of these police officers have stood up. There's a sheriff, I think, in Arizona, who has said, you know, I'm not doing that. I am not violating the constitutional rights of our citizens just because some governor or some mayor or whoever says, well, this is what you're supposed to do. We still live in a constitutional republic, and we still have inherent rights and liberties. So we've had some of them stand up and say so. But you're right. We have seen some instances in which police officers, in my view, have been used as pawns by some of these little would-be tyrants to go out and do their bidding. So we'll keep that in perspective. Keep praying for our police officers, but we got a job of education to do. And apparently, even for those who take an oath, they are not necessarily sensitive and in tune to what that oath is to and what the requirements of that oath entail. So, but point well made. Let's see if we can we get one more in? Okay, I'll tell you what, we can't. So you all stand by, and we'll be back right after the break.
And so I realized I had created this image of myself where I was the superhero.
Kara K. James on Focus on the Family Minute.
I was the best mom because if I was going to do this mom thing, I needed to do it the best and I needed to win and I needed everybody to look at me as, okay, this is how you do motherhood. And I realized I was hiding behind that, you know, facade of perfect motherhood, and it wasn't what God called me into.
Yeah.
And like you said, I was meeting with a counselor and she said, what makes you think that you have to do it all? And
simple,
I was like,
question.
So such a simple question. And I thought, well, I have to do it all. I'm a mom.
Yeah.
And she said, no, you don't. You don't have to do it all. Hmm. And so that really helped me realize that I'm not going to be perfect.
More encouragement from Kara K. James at familyminute.org.
Oh, Lord, please let me make it. Please, Lord. Come on, come on.
American Family Association.
Man.
Or American Family Radio.
I missed the show again.
Can't find the time to catch the live shows? No worries.
Wait, what?
You can listen and download all your favorite shows for free.
For free?
That's right, for free. Just visit the podcast page on AFR.net.
Ooh, Lord.
AFR.net. American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com. Spring Share-a-thon is coming, May 19th through the 21st.
My name is Sherry. I discovered AFR last year, and I've been a Christian for 20 years, but they have opened my eyes to so many things in this society. Thank God for AFR. I became a supporter last year and will continue as long as I am on this earth and I'm able to do so.
Hi, my name is Steve from New Jersey. It was my best friend Jeff from Richmond, Virginia, who told me about this station, and I've been listening ever since. I listened to Sandy Rios, Focal Point, Today's Issues, and Bishop E.W. Jackson while I'm at work. And then when I can't catch the live broadcast, I play the podcast the next day, and I want to know what happened and what I missed.
AFR is making a difference. Join us for our three-day spring share-a-thon, May 19th, 20th, and 21st. And thank you for standing with American Family Radio.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, I'm going to come right to your calls, but since this issue got raised, let me go to the Citizen's Oath to the Constitution. Here is what it says. Now, see, if we could get every police officer to sign off on this, if we got every citizen to sign off on this, and then we couple this with education and information about the nature of our Constitution, as I've been saying, an order by a mayor is not a law. An order by a governor is not a law. It does not have the force of law. It simply does not. And you could call it a policy, you could call it recommendations, but to be going out arresting people because they didn't follow some order by a governor or mayor is preposterous. But here's what it says. As a citizen of the United States of America, I, E.W. Jackson, acknowledge that I am an American citizen by birth or a naturalized American citizen by choice. I happen to be an American citizen by birth, and that I freely and proudly choose to remain an American citizen. I further acknowledge that in my lifetime, and this is where we get to these violations, I further acknowledge that in my lifetime, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been eroded by the ignorance of citizens and trampled by certain government officials who violate their oath to satisfy their hunger for power. Therefore, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Furthermore, that I will oppose all ideologies, ideas, and policies which undermine the Constitution, including but not limited to Marxism, socialism, communism, fascism, and Sharia law. I take this oath voluntarily, without any reservation, and under no legal or governmental obligation, so help me God. Imagine if every citizen signed off on that and then got the information about what the Constitution actually says. You know, I think we'd have a very different situation than what we've experienced with this coronavirus. Let's get right back to your calls. Okay, Lavelle, you've been very patient. Lavelle from Arizona, welcome. I hear your radio in the background or something in the background. There you go.
Hello?
Yes. Is it Lavelle?
Yes.
All right, Lavelle. Welcome.
Hey, Bishop. How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
Yes, sir. I'd like to just make a few comments. First of all, our country is founded on three words. In God we trust.
And well, that's four, but okay. Right.
In God we trust.
Okay.
Four words. But yes, sir. In God we trust. It's what this country is standing on. It's the fundamental principle of why this country is still standing and why God continues to bless this country. But I do have a question.
Okay.
You know, they talk about the COVID-19 and, you know, they talk about how serious it is. And we have this one Dr. Fauci guy that talks about it all the time. Do you ever see him wearing masks and gloves? I just have a question about that.
Yeah, well, Lavelle, thanks for the call. We could talk quite a bit about Dr. Anthony Fauci. I've noticed I haven't seen him quite as much here in these last couple of times that I've seen the president. And maybe it's because he is finally beginning to fade. I have severe doubts about Anthony Fauci. I really do. And I think the president got stuck with him somehow. In part because he's been associated with other administrations, and I guess they thought he would be non-ideological or something. I'm not sure what the reasoning was, but frankly, I think that Dr. Anthony Fauci has done a disservice to the president and a disservice to the country. I'm sure you all have heard that he and others are still suggesting, well, maybe not him so much now. I think he's been quieted about this, that, you know, we need to be locked down for a couple of years. Well, and the president said, we wouldn't have a country if we do that. So, yeah, it gets to more than just the mask. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Todd on line 4. Todd, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. As I look into this virus situation with all the death, you know, in our country, and the country, you know, abroad. This is a very serious situation. And my question to you, since you're a lawyer, when we find out, you know, when we investigate who did this to the country and to the world, can we prosecute them? And how long to get them prosecuted for what they did? Because there's a lot of death in this country, and it breaks my heart. Because, you know, we talk about the numbers. The numbers are people. The numbers are moms, dads, mm-hmm. brothers, sisters. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. And we need to take this serious. This is in the United States and maybe people around the world was not ready for this. And you could see that they were not ready. So we're struggling because we were not prepared. And one more thing, Ian, I'm going to hang up and listen to me. We're not prepared. Because Jesus said, you better be prepared for when I come. If you're not, you're going to be left behind. And one more thing, Ian, I'm going to hang up. The study of evolution is wrong, and they know it's creation. And we have teach this to our children, and it was taught to me. And I blame my mother and daddy because I was born in the 70s, and I'm going to hang up in this day, brother. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the call, Todd. Well, look, you raised quite a few issues there. If you're talking about prosecuting communist China, there's really no way for us to do that. We'd have to hold them accountable in other ways. We might be able to do that through trade. We might be able to do that economically. You know, we did a show yesterday with Stephen Mosher on China, which was, I'm sure all of you found, quite eye-opening. There's more. I'm reading a book by William Pillsbury right now, The 100-Year Marathon. China means us no good. And while I do not advocate going to war against China, a shooting war against China, I would say I really believe that China is at war with us now. It's not a shooting war, but I think they're using every mechanism at their disposal and everything in their power to try to advance China and to try to diminish and ultimately subjugate the United States of America to the hegemony of the world hegemony of communist China. And so how you hold them accountable, that's a complicated question because they can't be prosecuted in our courts of law. Maybe they could be sued in some kind of international tribunal. But it's a tough one. But you're right. Every life is precious. We've lost many lives as a result of this thing. And one way or the other, no matter how you cut it, I hold communist China responsible for this. And I have no respect whatsoever for these people who are running around making apologies for them and carrying water for those communist dictators and tyrants. So we appreciate the call. Let's go to Steve in Mississippi. Steve, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thanks for calling, Steve.
I particularly wanted to tell you that I enjoyed the show with your China expert. And the reason for my call is, I feel the same way you do about China's responsibility for this. What I wanted to do just very shortly is maybe try and tie you and Brian Fisher together. I listened to his show yesterday, and he talks about this Newsweek story that indicated that Dr. Fauci supposedly approved the grant for the Wuhan laboratory under the present administration's time in office back in 2017, I think, was the quote that Dr. Fauci approved the $7 million grant. And I remember listening to your China expert who said that this grant was approved in 2015 under the previous administration. So anyways, just was hoping to tie you and Brian together and get some clarity on this because, you know, there's so much misinformation in the media,
right,
and that people may say that although this administration is trying to do a wonderful job to handle this crisis, that now Newsweek, this story, in my opinion, may be spinning this to say that although the administration is doing a good job, this administration and Dr. Fauci approving this grant in 2017, vice what your China expert said happened in 2015, could be another ploy by the media to potentially point fingers at this administration that it happened under their watch or they were the cause of it.
Well, you know what? We will get to the bottom of that, Steve. Of course, you know that Fauci would be the person. I know that these grants are not approved personally by the President of the United States. And whenever it happened, we know that Fauci was the person who signed off on it. But you're right. That timing does matter. It's not unimportant. So thanks for the call, Steve. Let's see. We've got time for maybe one more call. Let's go to Scott in Louisiana. Scott, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Scott. You are on. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. I just have a very quick comment because I know we're short on time. The heart is deceitfully wicked and beyond cure. Who can know it? If you know anybody that's liberal and you've had discussions with them, you find out that they have been deceived by allowing their feelings to dictate what their attitude is versus the fact. And I think that's what we're seeing played out. Satan knows how easily people are deceived by the heart. And so that's what he goes for. We live in the age now where facts don't matter. How do you feel about it? And that's what's driving all this, in my opinion.
Well, Scott, I think you're absolutely right. I think the left traffics in emotions because you can more easily manipulate people with emotions. Facts and information and truth have to be filtered through the mind. But emotions can go right to the feelings. It can go right to that sort of visceral reaction that people can have for something that will make them bypass what the actual facts are. And so, look, I think you're right. I think that's why the hysteria has worked. The fear-mongering has worked because you get people hyped up with fear and they'll go along with almost anything. Now, some of us would step back and say, now, wait a minute. Well, are these things we're hearing true? And is this really the right response? But most people, and I'm sure you all have observed it, just go, hey, just do what they say. Just do what they say. And I think that's the game plan. And you're right. That's Satan's stock in trade. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Hope you can finally go to church, by the way. Just stay safe out there and just believe God for your safety and security ultimately and do those common sense things that you need to do. Hope you get back to work if you're out of work, your business reopens if it's not open. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.